Today's reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of Mark is what I call a running gun gospel. It moves along. Mark goes from one event to another event, but there are two themes, and if you want to write this down, if you want to study and read Mark, there are two themes prevalent in Mark's gospel. Now, Mark is the traveling companion of Peter, the Apostle Peter, and a lot of what Mark has are teachings and preachings and witnesses from his time as a disciple as well as following the Apostle Peter. And the two themes found in Mark are fear and faith. Fear and faith. And in Mark, he'll always, as he did in this passage, I saw that. His fear will come before the faith. So those two, if you will, flip sides of one another are themes in the Gospel of Mark. And also you'll find out that often the disciples are afraid of things and that they don't get it. They don't get who Jesus is. They don't get his miracles. They don't get what he's doing. But all the demons do. If you continue to read, right after this, Jesus comes to the other side. He casts out demons into a bunch of pigs, and they go off a cliff and kill themselves. They know who Jesus is. But these disciples, it seems they are just clueless. But let's don't be too hard on them. Let's don't. Let us, if we will, we know the end of the story, well, the rest of the story anyway. Let's don't be too hard on them, because what if we were in that boat? Think about it. And we didn't know the story. So we got Jesus, he's preaching, he's teaching, he's busy, he's sharing parables, and all this stuff's going on, and all of a sudden he decides to take a trip across the Sea of Galilee. And he says, the evening's coming. It's not hardly dark. It's kind of, you know, maybe what would be 5 or 6 o'clock for us. There's plenty of time to get to the other side. Sea of Galilee isn't that really that big. So Jesus says, "Let's go to the other side." And they all go get in the boat. Notice there isn't one boat. There are a few boats. There's kind of a little flotilla here. There were other boats with them. You heard that in there, right? But I want you to notice something and maybe underline it. Mark's really careful about this, and if we're not careful, we really just kind of buzz through it. And it says, "And they take him into the boat, comma, as he is." As he is. Now, Greg Young Buffy's been out jet setting, flying around and stuff like that, right? I'm going to pick on you just for a little bit. I don't get you here often enough to do this. So anyway, and I'm glad. You don't know how glad I am to see people. Folks, if you want to go see this country, get it done. You know, like Mater said, get her done. You know, get on with it. Let's do it. Do you prepare for these trips? Okay, Buffy, do you prepare for these trips? Absolutely. I should ask the women this question and not the men. We ad-lib it. You know, it's funny to me. We went back to North Carolina one time. And Carrie had monstrous things. I had my little bag. We were only going to be gone 10 days. I didn't need a big bag. Socks and underwear. You know, that's about it, right? We'll get the rest. We'll cut. We can wear the same pair of pants a week. It won't bother us. It might bother others. Shirts are the same way, you know. But anyway, you get ready, don't you, for this trip? You know, And it says, and they took Jesus in just as he was. How was he? He wasn't ready. He was tired. He was exhausted. Look at the humanity of Jesus in this story. He's worn out. He's tired. He has no money, no purse, no bag for the trip. How many of you are leaving town with no money in your pocket? We figured out what happens with that, right? He had nothing. He didn't even take a change of clothes. Honey, could you leave town without a change of clothes? You have to have options, don't you? At least five. For one night. Did you hear that? We were gone 10. So can you imagine how many options that meant? Oh, I got my little bag here. They can carry them big old red suitcases. And you know what bothers me? She goes through the line. Bags of all kinds. The buzzers don't go off and the bells don't go off. I get naked over here because I got to take everything off. Sir, you've been selected for random searches. Would you keep with us? And I'm another hour getting through. Coming. It's the same. She's out there. Yeah, it's so funny. She's talking to all these people. I'm back here. Hold your arms out. You're going around here. It's just not fun. Is it not the truth? I do get called aside, Donna. And we always get those stickers. Your bags have been thoroughly searched by TSA officials. Do you know what that means? Be careful when you open them because it's been tossed like a salad. But Jesus wasn't ready for this trip. They took him in as he was. He was tired. He's worn out. He's dirty. He's exhausted. No money for the trip. And you know what else? He's in with seasoned sailors, right? But he don't know nothing about sailing. Jesus was a carpenter. He was not going to be able to help them on the boat. So he just took him in. He is 100% a passenger. What does the man do? He goes all the way to the back of the boat and he gets on their cushions. And he's out. Now this is something else about Jesus you need to notice. That man can sleep. Because this storm has not woke him up. How many of you have ever slept on a boat? It lulls you to sleep, don't it? But what happens if the lulling changes? It wakes you up, don't it? Yeah, Jerry Waddell, a good friend of mine, we used to love to striper fish down in Lake Murray. And striper fishing in Lake Murray meant you had these big downriggers. And you would fish them from 60 to 100 feet deep. And we went down and you know, we fish all night. And I had to do most of the driving. Jerry only had one eye. And Jerry wasn't a good driver. And Jerry knew that. So I'd have to do the driving. I was worn out. So Jerry, and I can't remember who else was with us, they were going to fish. I got down in the boat. And I'll call them the cushions. And I don't know, somebody hit me with a ball peen or something. Because that water was sloshing and the trolling motor was running, you know, and I was gone. The next thing I know is, and there's this vent, you know, up above me, and I'm just enjoying it. The next thing I know is I hear two grown men yelling, get this, get that, and I can feel the boats tipping, topping. They're running up on top of this deck. They had went to sleep, too, and run aground. There was commotion going on. Jesus slept through the commotion. They were trying to bail this thing. It's swamping. You need to hear this. A boat never sinks from the water from the outside. It only sinks from the water that gets on the inside. The Church of Jesus Christ will never crumble to what's outside, but it can be destroyed by what can come inside. Soak on that one a minute. So finally, they're giving up. Experienced, seasoned fishermen are giving up. And they go and they wake him up. And did you notice what happens? They go in to tell him, don't you care? We're going to die out here. What does What does Jesus do? And he says, and he woke up. How many of you have been in a sound sleep? How long does it take you to get up and get ready? It takes me longer now than my imagination ever thought it would. How many of you wake up and you go, that didn't hurt yesterday. What happened? Oh, it was that walk I took. Oh, and how many of you, now, this is me, I'm telling you right now, you don't want to come around me until I've had a cup of coffee. And I'm not talking, Nick, what kind of coffee do we drink at my house? Tartar. He calls it nuclear coffee. The way you make it is you get Dunkin' Dark, Starbucks, Sumatra, Morning Joe, and you fill the basket up. Level it off, and you've got just the right amount for a cup, for a pot of coffee. You walk up to the coffee pot, and you put your cup down, you get in there, and it gets all over the cup. That's some strong coffee. So anyway, I just don't come around till I've had. So Jesus is getting woke up. His humanity, do you see that? He's sleeping. He gets woke up. And he looks around. And the first thing Jesus does is he rebukes the wind. He rebukes the wind. He says, wind, stop what you're doing. That's a rebuke. Stop what. How many of you have been out on the ocean or a big lake and it's rough water? And the wind stops. Does the water stop being rough immediately? No. As a matter of fact, it may get a little worse for a few minutes as where it's been pushed it to the eastern shore, it decides it needs to go back. So it can get a little more. So Jesus says, he rebukes the wind, and then he says these three words, write them down in your heart somewhere, but get them, peace, be still. Peace. He says to the sea, he's already rebuked the wind. And immediately, there is dead calm. Now, here I am, an experienced sailor. I know, number one, the wind don't quit like that. And number two, holy smokes, he just calmed it all down. And they were afraid of Jesus. Why are you afraid of me? He said. Have you no faith? Did you not believe I could do it? Did you, instead of being happy, delighted, you're scared. And they go on and say, holy smokes, who is this? Even the sea obeys him. They're afraid of the awesome power of Jesus. In our lives, sometimes Jesus calms the storm, but sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he calms you in the storm. Because it is sometimes in the storm that we must experience something, that we must see something, that we must learn something. But I want you to also notice there were other boats and disciples. You are typically never in a storm alone. How many of you have ever been in a situation everybody around you is falling apart, but strangely you were not? Maybe you're the one that's always falling apart. And if you are, have you ever noticed that there's usually somebody in that crowd that isn't? God put them there. They are the calm in the storm. Either the storm is calmed or there's calm in the storm. My friends, we everyone face storms in our life and on our faith journey. We are not exempt from it. It isn't if, it is when. And they're different for every one of us. And even though we may be going through sort of the same thing, it's different too. We never have the right to tell somebody how they feel. And we never, never can say we know how they feel. Because neither of those is true. It's different. Storms come to us as individuals. They come to us as couples. They come to us as families. They come to us as churches. They come to us as communities. They come to us as nations. They come to us in the world. We're all subject to them. So we have a choice. Are we going to grasp and hold on to the power of Christ to see us through those storms? Or are we going to have not enough faith to trust Him? Every storm you face will cause you to be faced with two choices: to draw closer to God or step away from God. It'll either strengthen your faith or cause you to turn your back on it. You'll either reach out to the awesome power of God for the storm, or you'll say, "It's not enough, I don't want it," and you'll walk away. Or even worse than that, you may just blame God for everything and hit the road. We have a choice. But God is still God. Christ is still Christ. And He has the awesome power to say in our life, "Peace, be still," even in the storm. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Even in the storm. I would pray for you this morning that in the storms, as they may come, and they surely will, that you call out upon the name of Jesus and that you hear these words, "Peace, be still." And that in faith you don't fear that even the storm, the sea, and the wind obey. Sometimes it is scary to walk by faith, and it's even worse when the storm comes. The one thing I have learned in my life is you are never ready for a storm. It doesn't matter how much you prepare, you're never ready. I believe that's truth. And I believe that as sure as that is truth, that to get through the storm, you need Jesus. Even in the storm. My prayer then for all of us this morning is that no matter what the storm may be, it cannot destroy us from outside if we have Christ on the inside. Our gracious and loving God, may we as individuals know you within our hearts and lives, that the storm, though it may rage, though the wind may howl, we can hear within our hearts and lives, "Peace, be still." And Father, for us as families, and as communities and as a church, let us hear from you those same words, "Peace, be still," in whatever storm may come our way. Let us embrace and not fear your awesome power, your love and your grace. And let us, by faith, live it out every day. Father, even when we can't explain it anymore, that we can explain the wind. But let us know that you calm the wind. But sometimes you calm us in the storm. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted to you this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And now may you go to know peace. Be still, no matter the storm. And truly may the grace and peace of Christ go with you and bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.